Good morning. So nice to be with you again this morning and to share God's word together. My voice is not what it should be. If you had heard me about 48 hours ago, it's better by at least 95%. I got home from work and I just whispered to my wife. Nothing came out. So again, thank you for had a lady who sent me an email on Thursday morning, and she said, I was at prayer meeting last night and missed seeing you, and I heard that you were scheduled to speak on Sunday and that you had no voice. And she said, I just want to tell you that I'm praying for you. Brothers and sisters, that type of thing is so encouraging. You know, the Lord Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing, nothing. It's a good thing for us to be reminded of that. Without the Lord Jesus and the power of his Spirit, we, regardless of what effort we put into something, we accomplish zero, nada. We thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord's power to heal, and the Lord's power to equip, and the Lord's power to use his word to reach our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, we read in your word that it is settled forever in heaven. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Father, we thank you this morning that we've been blessed to be able to gather as we are, to open your word without fear of persecution, to look into it, and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, our prayer is this morning that you would give us open and receptive hearts and minds. Pray for any in our company who have not yet come to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus through faith. And ask, O Lord, that you'd open their eyes, draw their hearts to the Lord Jesus, and may they trust him and be born again today. Lord, for those of us who know thee, our desire is that our lives would count for thee, that our lives would count for eternity, and Lord, that we would, with the power of the Spirit, accomplish those things which you have desired to accomplish in us and through us. So, Lord, lead us through your Spirit this morning. We commit our time together to thee and give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think it's the natural desire of every human being who lives to be able to look at their life with some sense, we're not talking about pride here, but some sense of being able to say, my life has value. My life has value. Not because of anything of ourselves, but our lives have value because God created us and God has purposes that he wants to accomplish through us. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I spoke to a friend not long ago. He's an agnostic, quite frankly. I'm confident that the Lord has brought him into my life and given me the opportunity of sharing Bible truth with him. But he frankly admitted that he doesn't believe that we can know whether or not there's a God. And I've had several conversations with him, and in one of those conversations, he was telling me about his dad. Now, this particular gentleman I'm speaking of is probably about 60. Somewhere in there, I'm guessing. So I would put his dad probably at, 80 years of age, somewhere around there. But he just kind of, and it surprised me a bit, he just kind of opened up and shared this. And I don't know just what led to it. But he said, you know, when my dad was younger, he was a big, strong man. Now this fellow who's a friend of mine, the agnostic gentleman, he's a big guy. He's not way overweight or anything. He's just big, tall, and has a real build. And I suspect that his dad was probably like him. And he said, my dad could go into a kitchen. I believe he probably worked in the appliance repair business. That's my guess. He said, my dad could go into a kitchen. He could put his arms around a big stand-up refrigerator, pull that back toward himself, and just pivot that refrigerator across the floor and put it where he wanted it. He said, as my dad has aged, he said he's had some health problems. I think some of those were back-related. And he can't do what he used to be able to do. And he said, my dad commented not long ago, he said, I ain't no good for nothing. That was his assessment of his life. Isn't that sad? I'm no good for anything. This morning, what we want to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is consider spiritual gifts, what they are, how we receive them, how they are used in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. What we want to do this morning is to understand how God has placed us in Christ and what God's purpose is for each one of us. Because, brothers and sisters, if we understand where we fit in the body of Christ, our lives will never be without purpose, never be without meaning. We'll know who we are, why we're here, where we're going. And that adds tremendous value to life. Tremendous value to life. We heard this morning in the worship meeting, at the end of the meeting, Rhonda spoke about her stepson's father, Luke. He and his father were involved in a serious automobile accident. Now, I don't know where he stands spiritually. I can't speak for him. I don't know him at all. But I do know that I hear of many, many people, saved and unsaved, who are involved in accidents or have illnesses of different kinds. Whatever the case may be, the end result is that they are no longer and probably never will be what they were before that accident or that particular illness. If a person doesn't know Christ and all they have to live for is what they have in this world, and something tragic like that happens, where do you go? Where do you go? You can hope it's going to get better, but a doctor may tell you, you're never going to get better. You'll never be over it. And then there are individuals who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, go through the same type of thing. And I'm not saying that all turn out as some do, but we have hope. And we can look to the Lord and we can say, Lord, I know based on your word that whatever happens in my life, you've allowed. And if you allowed it, you have a purpose for it. Lord, show me your purpose. And regardless of my physical state, let me honor you. Let my life count for eternity. And I'm convinced this morning that this is the desire of most of us here this morning. We want our lives to count for eternity. And I've thought for a number of years about this particular subject and felt the Lord just telling me we need some ministry on the subject of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. And so I've spent a considerable amount of time studying this subject this morning. I want to tell you this is by no way conclusive. There is no way that we could fit into the time that we have this morning all that Scripture has to say about spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. But we're going to start out here. I ask you to just follow along closely, please. Take notes if you'd like. I'll give the verses that we'll be referring to here and give you specific truths that are brought out of those verses, which you should find helpful if you'd like to look at those notes later on. So first of all, what are spiritual gifts? Let's read chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verses 4 through 11. There are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. What is a spiritual gift? Sometimes it helps to understand what something is by knowing what it is not. Spiritual gifts are not natural skills and abilities that every human being possesses, believer or unbeliever. We all have natural abilities, natural skills. Spiritual gifts are not natural abilities or skills possessed, again, by either a believer or an unbeliever. What are they? Spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit on all believers. Look, if you would, at verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Given to each one. If you are here this morning, and you have, well, obviously you're here this morning. Take that back. You're here this morning, and if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have been gifted. You've been given one or more spiritual gifts. Now, you may or may not know what that gift is, but you possess it. The Bible says that a gift of the Spirit is given to each one. What is the purpose of the gift? The rest of that verse, the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The purpose of our spiritual gifts is to build up this body of believers. Now, it's to build up others as well, other believers outside this body. But we are in fellowship in this body, which is a microcosm of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches that. We are a microcosm of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our purpose with our spiritual gifts is to build up this body. We have a lot of different groups in this assembly, but the purpose, again, is to build up the body. What are some of the spiritual gifts? We're not going to cover all of them, and there are, I'm convinced, a vast number of spiritual gifts that are not even laid out in Scripture. And I don't know how you could ever lay out all of them. Again, the Holy Spirit bestows these gifts as God chooses. He distributes them. Some persons to one and some to more than one. But God distributes them. Generally speaking, gifts fall into one of two general categories. They are speaking or serving gifts. Speaking or serving gifts. The gift of evangelism is a speaking gift. I do not have the gift of evangelism. An evangelist can come in and with the power of the Holy Spirit present the gospel in such a way that people's hearts are drawn to the Lord Jesus. And an evangelist has a burden. He can come and preach, and no matter what subject he's talking on, it may very well get back to the gospel, and he's going to present the gospel. That's wonderful. God has gifted him for that type of ministry. Others will come in and will teach, and they may bring the gospel out and may preach an evangelistic message from time to time. But that is not their gift. That is not their gift. So there are the verbal and there are the nonverbal. We find here in the passage that we've looked at, there are the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of knowledge, wisdom, teaching, and exhortation. Those are all verbal gifts. And then there are nonverbal gifts, and the ones that we have here that we've looked at are leadership, the gifts of helps. In other words, leadership, where you're able to gather a group of people together, you're able to see a need in the assembly, or maybe for some other ministry, you're able to gather people together and motivate them to work together to accomplish some objective. Leadership. And then there are helps. There are people who God has gifted in such a way that they look at someone doing something and needing help with it, and they drop what they're doing and go over to help them if they can. There are people, and other people can just walk by them. You know, he's getting it done on his own, and I've got other things to do, and just walk by them. But the gift of helps, just having a desire to help wherever I can. If I see a need, I want to help. Then there's the gift of giving. There are people whom God has gifted with a lot of money, and others who he hasn't gifted with nearly as much, but they just look and they see people with needs, and their hearts go out to them. Their hearts go out to them. Someone may look at a particular person who is in need and say, well, if he'd get a better job or if he'd work harder, he wouldn't be where he is. A person who has the gift of giving, or the gift of mercy, gift of mercy in particular, which was another one that we've looked at here, is going to look and they're going to have sympathy and they're going to feel for that person and they're going to want to try and help them. And so people with the gift of giving, they will give and give and give to try and meet the needs of others. Sometimes to their own poverty, they will give. And then again, the gift of mercy, where you just see people in need and you feel for them, your heart goes out to them, and you want to help them in any way you can. The gift of faith and the gift of discernment, these are also nonverbal gifts. Again, this is not a complete list. There are other passages of Scripture that list other gifts. We don't have time this morning to look at all of them. We just want to understand that these are some of the gifts and how God uses those whom he has gifted in those ways to accomplish his purposes. Now, there are two things to remember about spiritual gifts. Number one, all gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. You and I have no reason whatsoever to be proud of our spiritual gift. We didn't merit it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to give it and work it or to get it and work as hard as we might every day. We can't create that spiritual gift within us. I'm not saying we can't get better at some talents and things that we have by really energizing ourselves. Certainly we can. But spiritual gifts are different. They're given by the Holy Spirit, and we can't build ourselves up or create a spiritual gift. We can't develop them on our own. They are given by the Holy Spirit. No reason for any of us to be proud. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on every believer as he wills. Again, we saw that in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God in heaven makes the decision as to how he's going to gift us, and that's the way we're gifted. No more and no less. God looks at us, and God gifts us according to his will. And again, they are all gifts of the Holy Spirit with the purpose of building up believers, building up the body of Christ, of which we at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel are a microcosm. We're going to look at some gifts here. Again, we're not going to go into them in detail. We don't have to. But the gift of wisdom. This means the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives a human being as a gift. And this wisdom is the whole truth revealed in Scripture concerning God, man, and the world. It's been said that when you and I as believers get away from the written word of God, we enter the wasteland of human opinion and we find ourselves lost. People's opinions are a dime a dozen and we find ourselves lost. We need to stick to the word of God. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. It's true. It's eternally true. We can plant our feet on it and we can move forward trusting in what God tells us. The gift of wisdom enables a person to share God's truth in simple and understandable language. He's able to break it down and to give it in simple, understandable language. The gift of knowledge. This is practical knowledge. Practical knowledge. Have you ever sat through a message and you heard a lot of good things? And I mean, it just sounded so good. But you walked out the door and you said, now, how do I take that and apply that to my life? You know, I've had that happen. thank the Lord, not very often here, but I've had that happen. You know, how do I apply it? A lot of good things were said, and they were all scriptural. But how do I apply that to my life? Well, the person who has the gift of knowledge is able to take God's word and break it down and say, here's what it says, and here's what it means to you, and here's what it means to you. We take it, he takes it, and applies it to our lives. Put shoe leather, so to speak, on wisdom. The gift of faith, this is not saving faith. This is a gift that God gives certain individuals as a gift, and they are enabled to do great things for God. God gifts them with a trust in him that allows them to be mightily used of God. It's the kind of faith that enabled George Mueller over in England to build orphanages that housed 10,000 children. For years, thousands of children, and to never tell anyone, either in written or verbal, about any of his needs. And he didn't inherit any money. People gave as he prayed. That is an example of the gift of faith. The gift of healing. The gift of healing is a gift that has been minimized and de-emphasized because it has been so often abused. We'll hear of people who have been healed, sometimes see them on TV, so to speak, and later on find out that they really weren't healed. Whatever they had came back. And that is most often the case. But the fact remains that there are many believers throughout the world today who will tell you, I was miraculously healed. The doctor did an X-ray of my lungs and they were full of cancer. And I went back 2 months later and he did an X-ray and the doctor said, I'm baffled, I don't know, you are healed, you are clean. And those people would tell you that was a miracle. And I don't know of any other solution to it, any other answer to it. But the gift of healing. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to minimize any of the gifts that we find in Scripture because others who have abused them. We serve the same God today as the disciples in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where we find most of these gifts. Not all in the book of Acts, but most of them. We don't want to minimize any gifts because they've been abused by some. We serve the same God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gift of miracles, like the gift of healing, often been abused, but God can perform miracles. The gift of prophecy. This is the gift of speaking under inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. It can include both prediction and proclamation. Both of them are scripturally gifts of prophecy. Prediction, predicting the future, and the gift of proclamation of God's truth. Again, this has often been misapplied, but the fact is that God has given and continues to give today people in certain situations some awareness of something impending that is going to happen, and he prepares them for it in advance. Okay, the gift of prophecy. The gift of discerning spirits. How we need the gift of discerning spirits today. Many false prophets have gone out in the world, and they're seeking to deceive people. And we have believers who watch TV, listen to somebody on the radio, or hear somebody in person, and the person is charismatic, and they're full of enthusiasm, and they speak with excellent speech. And they deceive people. They deceive people. And many believers are being deserved. We need discerning spirits when we go before God and we say, God, give me your understanding of what I'm hearing. And then there's the gift of interpretation. We're familiar with that. Among students of the Bible, there are differences of opinions on some of these gifts. We're not going to go into that this morning, but we should realize that today we have the inspired Word of God in print, and some of these gifts are no longer needed. Others are. At the same time, we should never minimize God's ability to reach a seeking soul. There may be a person in another country with another language that we don't understand. They don't understand ours. We don't understand them. God is able in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, to be able to reach that seeking soul with the gospel. And we never want to underestimate God's ability to do so. Again, we don't have time to consider all of them, but our purpose this morning is twofold, to understand that each of us has been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And our purpose is to use those gifts for the body of Christ. Verse 12, for the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. To help us understand what the body of Christ is, God gives us a picture of our bodies. And God says, your body is a clear picture of what the body of Christ, physically, of what the body of Christ is spiritually. All the body's parts need to work together for the body to function. Now, I'm like most of you here this morning. I have two arms, and I have 2 feet, and 2 ears, and 2 eyes, and a nose, and so on and so forth. We have these different parts of our bodies. So also is the body of Christ. Each one of us is a member. We may be a hand, we may be a foot, we may be an ear, a nose, an eye, a head, whatever. We are a member of the body of Christ, and we each have a function. We each have a function. All of the members of the body, the human body, working together enable us to accomplish what God through His Spirit wants us to accomplish. Without the working of all of those members and working together, we will never accomplish what God intends. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You know, the wonderful truth that we revel in as believers is that God has taken poor, lost sinners. He has drawn us to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not because we chose to be drawn to Christ. God chose to draw us to Christ. We responded. We received Christ. And scripturally, God baptized us into the body of Christ. Again, it's not water baptism. God baptized us into the body of Christ. And now, brothers and sisters, God looks down from heaven. And whatever we were, we may have been the worst of criminals. Whatever we were, God has forgiven every bit of it for time and for eternity. And God looks down with a smiling face and sees us in His Son. And the Bible says that God loves us just as He loves His Son. That is mind-boggling for me. That's what the Bible teaches, and we need to believe it. Wonderful truth. Verses 14 to 17. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You see, God has equipped us, again, the way he made the body. He's equipped all these different parts to accomplish different purposes so that the whole working together is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And each one of us have a part in it. The problem here in Corinth, and the reason for which this was writing, is that some members felt that their gifts were better than the gifts of others. And they were proud and they were arrogant. You know, I can do this and he or she can't do what I can do. And then the result of that was you had these other people who were feeling, I haven't been gifted like them. And I need to do something to better my gift and try and be like, well, of course that can never happen. The gifts come from the Holy Spirit. So people were trying to be, there were those who were arrogant with what they had, and there were others who were trying to be like those who were arrogant so that they could get some of the same credit that those who were, that the arrogant were getting. That is never the intention. That is not God's plan. He made us the way He wanted us. The same is true of the body. I didn't choose my height. I didn't choose the color of my eyes, color of my hair. I didn't choose any of that, and neither have any of you. God created us physically the way He wanted us. We have to accept that. And God gives us the spiritual gifts He wants us to have. Three significant facts about the body of Christ. Every member is necessary. Some gifts are more visible than others. We may notice hands more than we notice feet. You know, I don't cover my hands most of the time, but you'd prefer that I not come in here with bare feet? And that's probably true of the rest of us, too. Not that my feet are, most people's feet are ugly, but again, we cover certain parts of our body most of the time. In the summertime, you go swimming and all that. I understand that. But we don't come to meetings and things with bare feet. You see, there are parts of our body which are more visible than others, and the same is true spiritually. The same is true spiritually. Some gifts are more visible. That doesn't mean that they're more important. It doesn't mean they're more important. It's easy sometimes for us to look at a Sunday school teacher or someone who stands in the pulpit. And Mark, for example, tremendously gifted person. It's easy to look at people like that and say, boy, they are the most important of all. Brothers and sisters, that is scripturally not true. God gifted every believer the way he wants them to be. And our responsibility is to use that gift or gifts as he wishes them to be used, as he created them to be used. We are all important to God. Do you ever think that the person who stands in the pulpit or the Sunday school teacher is more important? What about the person who got up Sunday morning, got on their knees before the Lord, and said, Lord, we're going to church today. The assembly's going to meet today, and your word's going to go forth. And there will be unsaved people there, and there will be people who need to be comforted and encouraged and built up in the faith. All kinds of needs are going to be there. Lord, I'm praying that you'll empower that Sunday school teacher, empower that preacher, and use them to accomplish your purpose. Is not that person just as important as the preacher who, apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, accomplishes nothing? He or she is, and that's the way we need to see it. Every member is necessary. Some gifts more visible, hands more visible than feet, but all are needed. Every member has an essential function. Take that word essential, an essential function. The eye and the ear, the nose, all have their particular function. None can do the function of another. Now, we may try. I understand that there are situations where someone is blind and they can learn Braille. Folks, the body doesn't function to its fullest potential that way. I mean, that can happen. We thank God for everything that comes in and tries to make up for a loss. But the fact remains that when the body functions optimally, it's because the body is whole and it is not divided. None of us can perform the function of another as optimally. Now, there are two significant applications. Each one of us needs to thank God for who we are and for the gifts or gifts that he has given us. We need to bow our heads and thank God for them. Each of us need to exercise our gifts with diligence and fervency. They're counting for eternity. God equipped us to do that which will have eternal value. This adds purpose to life, and we need to use them that way. Again, there were some in the church who were looking down on those with a lesser gift. We're going to move fast here. But years ago, when Patty and I moved down from North Carolina, for quite a number of years after that, there was a gentleman in this meeting. There was nothing pretentious about Aubrey Pearman. Aubrey Pearman was a fairly small man, stature-wise. He would never have stood out in a crowd. He didn't do a lot of talking. He was pretty quiet. But every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night, and probably when he had meetings in between, Aubrey Pearman was here early to open the doors of the chapel, unlock them. And Aubrey Pearman stayed afterward, no matter how long he had to stay, till everybody had left, and then he locked the door. We have a sound room, or we had a sound room, not nearly what we have now, but it was right back there. The room is still there, obviously, but there's no sound room in there. He also ran the sound equipment, and he did that every Sunday, week after week, year after year, and folks, he did it with a smile on his face. A smile on his face. You'd see Aubrey, and that's one thing I remember about him. He just quietly walking around with a smile on his face. Everybody at Shannon's Bible Chapel was blessed through Aubrey Pearman. Was he a big visible? Absolutely not. And we have other gifts in the assembly that are like that, and we need to exercise them. Note verses 25 to 27, please. There should be no schism, that means division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we are the body of Christ. That's what Scripture tells us. Shannon Hills Bible Chapel is a microcosm of the body of Christ. That's what we are. And we are to be united. We are to be united. There should be no division, no schism in the body. Do we have different groups doing different things? Absolutely, absolutely we do. But we need, the Bible tells us here, we need to have the same care one for the other. If I'm an adult, which obviously I am, if I'm an adult and other adults who are here this morning, we need to have a care for the children and for the teens and for the young adults, the same care that we have for any other in the meeting, those of our own group. And if you're a teen here this morning, or if you're one in the young adult group, there should be the same concern for adults and for senior citizens that you have for those in your own group. That's biblical. That's biblical. You are the body of Christ and members individually. There should be no schism in the body. We should be united. Now, just three questions here as we draw this to a close. Am I, as a member of the body of Christ, exercising my gift for the good of this body? That's what we are equipped to do. Am I, as a member of this body, the body of Christ, here at Channels Bible Chapel, exercising my gift for the good of the body? Let me pause here. There may be some who are saying, I don't know my spiritual gift. That could very well be. We don't teach a whole lot on this. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, claim God's word that you have one, at least one. And secondly, kind of look at yourself and say, what kinds of things do I have interest in? What kinds of things have I done in the past that I've had some pleasure in doing, I've sensed some satisfaction, and others have looked at and said, thank you for coming and helping me with that. Go before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what is my gift? I want to know my gift. I want to exercise it. Lord, that's what I want. Then keep your eyes open and look for opportunities. Anything, anything. Look for opportunities. Get involved. And then ask the Lord, Lord, is this it? Or is this one of them? And trust him to show you. He will. That's why he created you. Number two, do I know my fellow members in this body of believers? I find it very easy, and I'm sure that most of us are somewhat like I am, to primarily associate with those who are of my general age range. We are to have the same care one for another. The older for the younger for the older. That's scriptural, and that's the only way the body of Christ can work optimally. Next, do I know their needs so that I can help carry their burdens when they suffer and rejoice when they rejoice? That's verse 26. We are to know the needs of the members of the body so that we can pray with them, come alongside and help carry their burdens. And when they rejoice, we rejoice. There's a young man in this meeting who sometimes stands up on Wednesday night. He's done this on a number of occasions. When he's had exams coming up, he stood up and he said, I just want to ask you to pray for me. I've got some big exams coming up, and I have some concerns about them. Would you pray for me? And then 2 weeks later, he may stand up and say, you know, I want to thank you for praying for me. And we need to do this. If we ask people to pray and we see an answer, we need to thank them. He'll stand up and say, you know, the Lord helped me, and I passed those exams. Brothers and sisters, that is bearing one another's burdens. Sometimes it's just prayer. Sometimes it's helping many practical ways, but that is sharing their burdens, and we need to be doing that for one another. Again, if we are not, the body does not function optimally. Our theme verse for 2015 is Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and in fellowship, that's when we get together and we seek to know one another. We talk with one another. It can happen before meetings or after meetings in the hallways. But whenever it happens, it's when we get together and we seek to know others and to know their needs, and we seek to be a part of their lives. In the breaking of bread and in prayer. Now, I want to be careful here. Most of us live very busy lives. I do, and I know that many of you do. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that Acts 2:42 is easy. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's scriptural, and God tells us to practice it. We have these four things, our theme verse for this year: steadfast continuance in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you thankful that the Lord wants us to live abundant lives? He does. You know, the only way we can live abundant lives as Christians is to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in fellowship with Him. That means we avoid sin, anything that would injure our relationship with Him, and we walk in obedient service to Him. We recognize our gifts and we apply them in our lives. And we look for God to bless them because He's gifted us and enabled us to do so. And many of us would remember the little verse that, not a verse of Scripture, but certainly a truthful one, scripturally based. Brothers and sisters, there's only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for the working of Your Holy Spirit through which You drew our hearts to Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we trusted Him as Savior. Father, we thank You for bringing us, those of us lost in sin, separated from Thee, into Your family, into the body of Christ. Thank You, Lord, this morning for loving us as You love Your Son. Father, we're so unworthy, but we praise and we thank You. And Lord, it's our desire that You would help us to open our hearts to these scriptures, that You would, through Your Spirit, impress these truths upon our hearts. Lord, that we would recognize our spiritual gifts individually. And Father, that we would apply them for the building up of Thy body here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. Lord, help us, we pray. Thank You again for loving us, for saving us, and thank You for all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.